Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Sabbath when we come back. Hey, here's an interesting statement. It says, "And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." That's recorded in Acts 5, verse 29. You know, that's a revolutionary concept, obeying God rather than men. But it's impossible to put into practice unless you know the law. Can you imagine yourself actually telling a policeman or a judge that the law of God supersedes the law of the state or of your nation? Well, there are actually three sources of authority that support Peter's position in Acts 5, verse 29. The First Amendment to our Constitution is number one. Public Law 97-280 is the second. And the Seeger versus United States case is the third. Now, do you know the scriptural law to cite in support of your position on, say, the census or public school, Social Security, vaccinations, or the many other laws of the scripture that conflict with the laws of the state? And do you know how to look them up, research them out, or to code plead the law to use the scripture to defend yourself against state and federal intrusion into your constitutional rights? Because if you don't know the law of the scripture and the law of the state, you're not in a very good position then to challenge either one, are you? So if you're tired of being a biblical illiterate with the police and public officials kicking sand in your face, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. The Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. The Sabbath day. Nobody practices the Sabbath day today. Walmart's open 24/7, so is Harrah's and Circus and all the casinos. And Las Vegas works 24/7, and our government and the military, they work 24/7. Nobody takes off for the Sabbath day. I say the Sabbath day. Everybody practices a Sabbath day. Hell, even the atheists and agnostics, the evolutionists, they practice a Sabbath day. Everybody takes off. Generally speaking, they take off on Sunday. But if you're on a rotating shift, you know, like say you're working at United Airlines, you know, and so for 3 months you work days, and then for 3 months you work swing, and then for 3 months you work graveyard. And they kind of rotate you around, you know. Some days you work Friday through Wednesday, and then the next week maybe you work, Sunday through Thursday, and then maybe the next week you work some other schedule or some other shift. Everybody's familiar with that. And most people would tell you, well, you know, as long as you take 1 day a week and observe it, you know, that's pretty reasonable. And so we have a lot of ideas. You know, Catholics, they practice the Sabbath on Sunday. Muslims practice the Sabbath on Friday. Jews practice the Sabbath on Saturday with a few other people around the world. And so questions arise concerning the Sabbath. And here at the law school, you know, from time to time, you know, people will send letters in. And they send me little articles and one thing another. Gosh, I've got more articles here on the Sabbath and days of the week than you can shake a stick at. And one guy sent me one, and he says, well, the Sabbath revolves around depending upon how the moon phases are, and so the Sabbath changes every week. You know, the Sabbath day falls on Wednesday 1 week, and then maybe on Sunday the following week, and then maybe on Saturday the week after that, and then maybe on, you know, it just revolves around. You know, it's kind of like the days of the year. If you'll take a look at your calendar for the last few years, you'll find that if my birthday fell on Wednesday, let's say, you know, this year, let's just say it was on Wednesday, next year it'll be on Thursday, and then the year after that will be on a Friday, and the year after that, and so on. I've noticed that little glitch in the calendar, you know, so that revolves around. So people have it in their minds, you know, or some people, not everybody, but some people have it in their minds, that the Sabbath rotates. And so they send me articles and one thing and another. And then people ask me, you know, they call me on the phone or they send me an email or they'll see me at a meeting someplace and they'll say, hey, Gordon, do you keep the Sabbath? And then they want to know, do you keep the Sabbath on Sunday or Saturday? And what about these annual Sabbaths? I have Seventh-day Adventists come through school every once in a while, you know, and you get to talking about the Sabbath, you know, and you find out the Adventists, they practice the Saturday Sabbath. They don't practice the annual Sabbaths, and very, very few people, you know, if you ask them, do you practice the land Sabbath or the Jubilee Sabbath? And they kind of look at you like, sounds like Judy Hartson, you know, in the third grade, you know, they gasp for air. You know, little girls do that. I'm going to tell Mr. Witt, you know. That was always my curse in life was Judy Hartson telling Mr. Witt complain about everything. Talk about a block warden in a communist welfare state. You know, I was Judy Hartson if I ever saw one. I never got away with anything because Judy Hartson was always there to report on me. I think she followed me around to see whether or not I was going to get into trouble today so she could go report it to the teacher. Oh, well, that's another story for another day. So I thought, well, let me take up the Sabbath over here and research this thing out and see if there's any substance to this. But before I get started on it, let me tell you a little story here. One day I came out of the house Saturday morning, you know, I was going out to milk the cow. And there was a guy standing in my front yard. This is in July in Missouri, southern Missouri, in July. And he's wearing a suit with a tie, white shirt, carrying an attaché case. I mean, he looked just exactly like 007. You know, he looked like he was from the FBI. He looked like he was, you know, dressed to kill. It's hotter than a blue blaze as hell out here in July. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, I mean, just walking from the house to the barn will break a sweat. And I looked out into the driveway, and I saw that there was no car. And so I said, well, I guess you had a little problem coming up Newman Slope. And he said he did. And he had to walk the last quarter mile because Newman Slope, you know, on the old road, you know, going down to old 609, you know, was a little steep. And if you didn't have four-wheel drive, you know, sometimes you'd spin out in July coming up the hill. Didn't have to have any water on the road. Didn't have to have mud. All you had to do was just come up the hill, and you'd spin out. It was that steep. So anyway, I said, well, you must want to see me awful bad to walk up here from Newman Slope. And he said, I do want to see you awful bad. And he introduced himself. He was a Jehovah's Witness. I thought he was from the FBI. I said, only somebody that was out to get their man would be out in that kind of weather, that kind of heat. But this is a Jehovah's Witness. And he wanted to save me from the raging fires of hell. And so I said, well, listen, I don't want to see you sit out here in the sun. I got to go out and milk a couple cows. Why don't I take you around to the office, take you around to my classroom, is what it is. So I brought him around, opened up and brought him in, sat him down. I said, here, you got books in here to read, and here's a couple of newsletters. Keep you occupied. I'll be about a half hour or so. So I went out and milked the cows and then came back in the house and sat down. And he was kind of cooled off, and we're sitting here in the office. And I said, well, what is it that you'd like to talk about today? And he said he wanted to talk about Jesus and him crucified, and he wanted to tell us about the Jehovah's Witnesses and all these various and sundry things over here. And I said, well, say on, man. And so he started telling me the story, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they got a church, you know, right down the road here, Peace, on the way to Gainesville. It's off on the right side of the road when you're headed east. And so he told me about them, and I said, well, boy, I'm really grateful and thankful that you came by, took your time, effort, and energy, and one thing and another. And I just out of curiosity, I said, by the way, do you Jehovah's Witnesses practice the Ten Commandments? And he said, yeah, we do. And then I said, well, do you practice all 10? And he held up his two hands. He had five fingers, you know, on one hand with his thumb, you know, held up five. And then he kept his thumb in, and he held up four on the other hand, indicating nine. And I said, nine? Well, let me guess, what commandment that you people don't practice? And I just paused for a little effect, and I said, it's the fourth. And he nodded. He said, that's right. And I said, could you tell me why it is that you don't practice the fourth commandment? And he said, because everybody else out there in the real world keeps Sunday. And if we kept Sabbath on Saturday, then we'd be out of step with the rest of the world. I kind of mulled that one over a little bit. I thought that people were trying to get into step with the creator of the universe, with God, with Allah. You know, I've never talked to one of you Muslims out there, but my observation would be that the reason you people keep Friday as the Sabbath is because you want to please Allah. You want to please your God. That's the, I don't know what day the Buddhists keep, you know, but I would imagine, you know, that they're trying to please Buddha, and Confucianists are trying to please Confucian. So Confucius. So that was kind of my observation. But any Christians are trying to please Jesus, and so they keep Sunday. I got a book here that's entitled here, kind of a long one. It says, which day is the Christian Sabbath? Well, you don't have to be real smart to figure that out, do you? The Christian Sabbath is on Sunday, isn't it? I know a bunch of you Christians out there are going to say, oh, no, the Christian Sabbath isn't on Sunday. The Christian Sabbath is on Saturday. And I always wondered about that because you got a bunch of Christians out here, and they keep it on Sunday, and you got a bunch more Christians out here, and they keep it on Saturday. And then you got the Jews over here, and they're keeping it on Saturday. And so there's all this confusion. I often wondered, did anybody ever think about going to the Bible to settle the question one way or the other? Imagine the Muslim, he goes to the Quran, that settles the issue for him. But, you know, the Jews, they all pick up the law of Moses or the Torah. And the Jews are pretty well convinced, I guess, that it's on Saturday. Then the Seventh-day Adventists come along. They're Christians, and so they agree with the Jews that it's on Saturday. Then there's the Seventh-day Baptists and a bunch of others, and they figured out that the Sabbath day was on Saturday. But the broad majority of Christians, you know, if you took a look at Christianity as a whole, you know, there's a billion Catholics in the world. I mean, you got 6 billion people in the world, and one out of every six is a Catholic, and they all keep Sunday. Now, there's another 300 million Christians out there called Protestants. And if you take the 300 million Christians that call themselves Protestants, I bet you 299 million of them all keep Sunday along with the Catholics. And then maybe you got a million, I don't know how many Sabbath keepers there are out there that call themselves Christians. But I also wondered, why would somebody call himself a Christian unless he subscribed to Christian doctrine and philosophy and theology and so on? And I noticed that the Christians, they're all broken up into various little groups and sects. In fact, last time I looked, and I was looking at a legal journalist, it was 476, I believe it was, 476 or 86 or something like that, pushing 500 groups of Christians, incorporated Christians. Now, there's a bunch out here. There's 6,000 churches here in the United States that are unincorporated. Just in case you're wondering if they're all incorporated 501c3 churches, the answer is no, they're not. There's 6,000 churches in America. Out of 330,000, there's 6,000 that aren't incorporated. So there's these little unincorporated groups of people running around here in the United States, and I imagine you got a bunch of them down there in Australia, probably too, New Zealand, South Africa. You know, everybody's probably got these little groups. And a lot of those guys, they keep the Sabbath. These unincorporated churches, not all of them, actually, a lot of these unincorporated churches keep Sunday, and maybe they're also keeping the day spring, and then maybe they're keeping the revolving Sabbath. I mean, there's various and sundry ideas concerning. So I thought, well, let's just pick up this subject, and let's take a look in the Bible, and let's find out, what does the Bible say about the Sabbath? It's a wild new concept. I know you got all these religious ideas out there running around with all these various groups and organizations and millions of people. And if you ask any one of them, they'll tell you, well, here's what I think. Here's my opinion of it. But I got to thinking about that. You know, the United States Department of Justice really doesn't give a rat's, you know what you think about the law. You know, if you're out here talking about the Patriot Act, or you're talking about maybe the speed limit, you know, or you're talking about parking tickets or something like that, there's a general rule. The secular law really doesn't care what you think about. Now, here's the law, and here's what we're all going to do, and if you don't do that, we're going to give you a ticket. We're going to arrest you and throw you in jail because you're driving drunk or you're doing something else over here that's against public policy. So those of us that are engaged in law, when somebody comes into the office and they say, well, what does the law say about the income tax in New Hampshire? What does the law say about the speed limit in Nevada? What does the law say about identifying yourself to a police officer in Texas? No, you look it up, and you go over here to the law book, and you pull it down. And you find out what the state statute is, what they say about the subject matter, then maybe you follow it up maybe by looking in the legal encyclopedia or the law dictionary, maybe in the U.S. Supreme Court reports, and you write up a report on it. It's called a legal brief. In legal terms, we call it a brief. Some people call it a memorandum. Then we submit it to the judge, and we say, Judge, let me tell you what I found out over here. I looked up the law, and here's my sites, and here's my authorities. Here's what Oliver Wendell Holmes had to say about it. Here's what the Congress said about it. Here's what the Department of Justice said about it. You know, we cite these authorities over here. Then the judge, he takes us under advisement. That means he thinks about it long and hard. Maybe asks his wife what she thinks. Maybe talks to the dog a little bit over the weekend. Then he writes up an opinion. And he gives you that opinion. Says, hey, I think you're guilty as hell. And go to jail. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200 or whatever. And if you don't like that, you can appeal it up. And you can go on up to the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, if you get your ducks in a row. And then finally, the U.S. Supreme Court speaks on the subject. And they say, well, here's what our considered opinion is. And these are called authorities. Well, it would seem like to me that for Christians and Jews, that the authority on the Sabbath should come from the Hebrew Scriptures. And I always marvel at how many different opinions we can get out of the Hebrew Scriptures. When we get to the U.S. Supreme Court, once in a while somebody complains about how the court, you know, has gone against prior decisions, or they're not in sync, you know, with current law or current opinion, or they've deviated from the law or something like that. But generally speaking, if you take a look at our Supreme Court reports, they're remarkably in line with their previous decisions. Maybe you've heard about Roe v. Wade, you know, the famous abortion decision. And then you take a look at a number of decisions that have come out, you know, along the Roe v. Wade line, and I think you'll find that they're pretty much in sync. Maybe one group of people in the country think that the Supreme Court ruled incorrectly and that they're wrong and they're all wet and don't know what they're talking about, but they're pretty consistent time after time. Now, I looked in the Bible, and I noticed that the Bible says something, you know, some lines along that line there called stare decisis. For instance, there's a scripture that says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's another scripture that says, I change not. Well, if you put those two together, that's what we call in law the doctrine of stare decisis. Once settled, always settled. That's the case law that we follow. So if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I suppose if we went and asked him, hey, what day is the Sabbath day? There's another thing that comes along with the Sabbath. How should you observe it? You know, different people, I guess, have different ways of observing it. I've got a paper here which deals with the Jews, and here's how the Jews practice the Sabbath. They call it Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T. And then this came off of the web here. It was called Baptist.com/Judaism/ Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T .htm. Anyway, it's a needle story. It's 6 pages long. And so they tell you about how the Jews practice the Sabbath. So they got the preparation days on Friday, and they leave the office at 3 o'clock on Friday and go home, shower and shave and change your clothes. And they have a big meal on the Sabbath. Tells you all about it. Now, that's the way they do it. And then, of course, some other group over here, they might have some other modality that they might follow. But I always wondered, well, what about the Bible? Did anybody ever go to the Bible and take a look at it, open it up? So I did. So I just wanted to show you what I found out here. The word Sabbath, S-A-B-B-A-T-H, singular, appears in the Bible 135 times. Check me out. Then the word Sabbaths, plural, Sabbaths, spelled S-A-B-B-A-T-H-S, appears in the Bible 35 times, indicating that there's Sabbaths, more than one. And then there's a third way that this appears. It's called the seventh day. It appears 23 times. All right. So you got 135, 35, and 23. So if I give my Texas Instruments calculator out here, it's 135 plus 35 plus 23. 193 times in the Bible. Now, you'd think that in 193 times, God could have expressed himself pretty well. 193 times. So I looked up all 193 of those times that this appears in the Bible over here. And I got it on about 13 pages here. I'd say in under 28 and a half by 11 pages. That's under 20 pages. I wrote out all 193 of those. Now, if you want to get real crafty about legal research here in the Bible, you can get computer programs. For those of you that are computer savvy, you can get computer programs. And you can just type in the word Sabbath or seventh day or Sabbaths, you know, and then push the button, and it'll give you every place in the Bible. For instance, let's take the seventh day scripture. In Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the Sabbath day from all of his work which he had made. And then in Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. Then in Exodus 12:15, in the third place, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. All right, now there's three examples. Now there's 23 of those. Now what I said? 23 seventh days, yes. Yes, 23. All right, so 23 places in the Bible talk about the seventh day, and that's what God called it. He didn't call it the Sabbath. He didn't rest on creation week, you know, on the Sabbath. He rested on the seventh day. And then later on, the word Sabbath comes up. Now, they're synonymous terms, and they mean the same thing. And I think if you read these 23 places that say seventh day, and then you read Sabbath, and then you read the word Sabbaths, plural, here's a little oddity for you over here. Most people, I think of the Sabbath as being Saturday, along with the Jews, and then Sunday being the Lord's Day. That's Sunday, and that's the Christian Sabbath. Okay, that's two. And did you know that in Leviticus chapter 23, there's seven more Sabbaths in there? Seven. Yeah, and did you know that the Passover has two Sabbath days in the eight-day observance? There's 8 days that deal with this thing called Passover. One's called the Passover Day. That's not a Sabbath. And then you got the first day of unleavened bread and the seventh day of unleavened bread. Those are two annual Sabbaths, two holy convocations that you have to meet together. You know, you're like, go to church. You've got to go to church. And then there's another one called the Feast of Weeks that occurs 50 days after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. And then in the fall of the year, you've got the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and Last Great Day. So there's four in the fall, one in the late spring, that's in June, before the summer solstice, and then there's two in the early spring. You know, that's right up front, the first day of the year, 14 days after the first day of the new year. So there's seven annual Sabbaths. So you got 52 Sabbaths, that's weekly Sabbaths that come up in the year. That's one every week, every 7 days, and then you've got seven annual Sabbaths that come up during the year. And when one of those annual Sabbaths falls on a weekly Sabbath, let's take a look at it pragmatically for a second. Let's suppose that you're flipping through the year, and all of a sudden you come up to the Feast of Trumpets, and it happens to fall on a Saturday. You'd have what's known as a double high day. A double high day. That is, you got two Sabbaths in one. You got an annual Sabbath that happens to fall on the weekly Sabbath. And every one of these annual Sabbaths, they rotate around just like your birthday. And so every year you'll have one, maybe two double high days, where you'll have the annual Sabbath fall on a weekly Sabbath. So, and then there's two more Sabbaths mentioned in the Bible. Two more. The one of them is called the Land Sabbath Year. You'll see this in Leviticus chapter 25. And then the last one here is called the Jubilee Year. That occurs in the 50th year in a 50-year cycle. So you got 7 years, and then the seventh year is a Jubilee, or not a Jubilee, but a Land Sabbath Year. And then once every 50 years, that's 7 times 7, then that's 49, and then the 50th year is the Jubilee Year. And that's also mentioned in Leviticus chapter 25. In fact, the whole chapter there just deals with that. And there's other scriptures in the Bible that deal with land Sabbaths and Jubilees. So the word Sabbath has a number of different meanings. Annual Sabbaths, weekly Sabbaths, and a seventh-year Sabbath and a 50th-year Sabbath. So there's all of your Sabbaths. I've reported that to you. Appears in the Bible 193 times. Under three headings over here called Sabbath, singular, Sabbaths, plural, and seventh day. Now, God is pretty articulate. He pretty well spells this thing out. Now, most people don't pay much attention to the Bible. What they do is they listen to the Pope. My experience with the Pope has been that the Pope doesn't always get it quite right. For whatever reason, you know, for all you Catholics out there, no hard feelings here, but I've just observed that the Pope got it wrong a couple of times. You know, one of the times he got it wrong was when he told Galileo that the Earth is in the middle of the universe and the Sun revolves around the Earth. He got that one wrong. I know he was infallible, but he wasn't infallible that day. That was one. And then there was a couple of popes that thought the world was flat, and they wrote on that. And then later on, we found out that wasn't so. And so the Pope, he screwed up. But that was before they were infallible. So they didn't get to be infallible until about 1870. Prior to 1870, some of the popes made a mistake or two. Now, you don't find mistakes in the Bible, but you find mistakes sometimes in the writings of religious people who have written about the Bible. That happens quite often. You'll find a lot of mistakes by people who write about the Bible. Bible scholars oftentimes make mistakes. Well, it's either they made a mistake or God made a mistake. But you know, when two people say something opposite to one another, well, it could be that both of them are wrong. But you don't have to be real smart to figure out that one of them is wrong. And so I've been picking up on God's mistakes here for quite some time. And, you know, God should be real, real grateful, real thankful that we humans are down here to fix his mistakes all the time, which we've been busily doing here for the last several thousand years, fixing all of God's mistake. But I got to looking in the Bible and found out, well, there was a couple, three times that we thought God made a mistake when he really didn't. He did get it right. And sometimes the Pope gets it wrong and God gets it right once in a while. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School. We're talking about the Sabbath. You are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and we're heard worldwide over the internet daily. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed to the webpage as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like to order one, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station or the Pope or anybody else. For more information about the Law Hour and the editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call the Law School Director, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Sabbath day. And what we're trying to figure out here is what day of the week is the Sabbath? And how do you keep Sabbath anyway? What would you do on the Sabbath day that would be different than what you did on Wednesday? Would you abstain from sex on Saturday? Would you fast on Saturday? What if the Sabbath isn't on Saturday? Like some guy wrote me a little treatise there, and he said it rotates around. Some days it's on Wednesday. Some days it's on Thursday. Some days it's on Saturday. You know, it moves around quite a bit. What about those guys? They've got all these different people out here. You know, they got their different ideas. What would you do? I haven't got a clue. I don't know. Your opinion's as good as mine. So I thought, well, I'm going to be a little different than the rest of you guys. I'm going to look in the Bible 193 places and find out, well, what did God think about keeping the Sabbath day? This is what makes the Law Hour an editorial review so unique. Instead of me telling you, here's my opinion, let me give you God's opinion right from the Bible. And I'll give you the citations, and you can go look them up and see whether or not he screwed up again and you need to fix his mistake. So when we start off with this little exercise in mind, I guess we should ask ourselves, well, who was it that created the Sabbath day in the first place? I mean, was it done by the Pope, the Roman Catholics, the Seventh-day Baptists, the Jews? Who thunk it up? And so it says here in Genesis 2, verse 2, right off the bat, early on in the Bible, the second chapter. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. So he was just fagged out. I mean, you know, when you spend a week working hard inventing and creating the entire universe and the world and all the animals and all the stuff that's on the planet, you know, makes a guy tired. So I don't know if the guy was tired or if he just said, well, I think maybe I'll just rest one day out of the seven. Maybe it was his way of coming up with 7 days in the week instead of 8, 10, or 15 or 3 or 9 or whatever the number is. But in any event, he tells us in Genesis 2:2 that he rested on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And in Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified the seventh day because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. All right, so he blessed it and he sanctified it. Now, he didn't bless Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. He didn't sanctify Thursday, Friday, or Sunday, or whatever day we're coming up to here. But he did rest, he did bless, and he did sanctify one day of the week, the seventh day. And so he goes on to say, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Now that's in Exodus 12:15. Now that, the scripture is talking about the days of unleavened bread. And even the first day you shall put away leaven from out of your houses, for whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. All right, so that's a Sabbath, but that's not the weekly Sabbath, that's an annual Sabbath. Two of them, first and seventh day of unleavened bread. And then in Exodus 12:16, he talks a little bit more about it. It says, in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in it, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. All right. On these annual Sabbath days, you can cook. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. So you could cook turkey dinner. You know, if you wanted to, we do that here in the West. Here in the United States, you know, on Thanksgiving, we have this big turkey dinner. 4th of July, we go out water skiing, and we have these great big humongous hamburgers and hot dogs and potato chips and Coca-Cola. Just have a hell of a party. You know what I mean? Eat, and just have a good time. You can cook on those days. Now, that would indicate then that maybe on this weekly Sabbath, you ought not cook. That's an indication. It doesn't tell you that. We're coming to that. But it gives you a little indication there. Now, I'm going to skip ahead here until we get up here to the weekly Sabbath. Again, that's in about Exodus 20. Where we have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments here. It says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. That kind of knocks in the head the gap theory over here in evolution. I just thought I'd throw that one in there. You know, because in 6 days the Lord God made heaven. See, if you got these thousand years periods over here, you got the Sabbath day lasting 1,000 years. There is a millennial rest coming up. There is a 7,000th year. That is a 1,000-year reign after 6 days of man's rule on planet Earth, and God's going to come up here with what he calls the rest. It's called the R-E-S-T, the rest, and it's a 1,000-year reign. But that, I don't think that's what happened here on Creation Week. I think that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days. That's 24 hours each. I know it's kind of heretical to say things like that. It violates all the principles and precepts of theology and science. Well, evolutionary science, evolutionary knowledge. But I thought I'd throw that one in there just for the kicks. All right, here we are in Exodus 20. Now, this is the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. And he uses the term, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did you see that? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Evidently, the Sabbath day had been in existence prior to Moses giving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Well, otherwise, the word remember, wouldn't really fit in there very well, would it? So, I mean, just taking the Bible literally for what it says, which I kind of do, you know. It is true, though, for some of you skeptics out there, the Bible uses similes and analogies. It's not 100% literal 100% of the time. But, you know, when it's literal, it kind of tells you that. And when it's speaking of Jesus, he spoke in parables a lot of the time. And a parable is a little story or simile or a little story that tells you something, but it isn't necessarily literally 100% true, accurate, and correct. We do that in life today, and God, he does that, and he's been doing it for a long time. Normal people don't have a real hard time figuring out what somebody's trying to communicate when they do that. Some people do. Most people don't, but some people do. I call them evolutionists. They have a hard time understanding the Bible. Now, 6 days shall you do your work in Exodus 23, verse 12. And on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your ass may rest. So you sit on your ass and rest. And then the son of your husband, or handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. And so one of the reasons for the Sabbath day is to rest and be refreshed. So if you were kind of wondering, well, what's the purpose behind the Sabbath? Well, that's not the only purpose, you know, but it's one of, it's to rest. You know, you work 6 days and you need a little rest. Exodus 24, the glory of the Eternal abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Exodus 31:17, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. All right, so let's write this down. What are the purposes behind it? One is rest, and be refreshed. And secondly, it's a sign. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel. So if you don't practice the Sabbath, then you don't have that sign between you and this God. Now, I'm not telling you you don't have a sign between you and your God. And there's lots of gods out there. You know, there's Zeus, Neptune, Jupiter, Mars, the United States of America, France, Allah, Buddha, Jesus. I mean, we got lots of gods. We're not short of gods. Mankind has created more gods than you can shake a stick at. We got lots of Amun Ra. Now, but then there's this guy here. Now, this guy here is a little different. He's a different breed of cat. He's a little different god. He calls himself a jealous god. He gets meaner than a junkyard dog every once in a while. Goes postal on us. Like he did out there at the Red Sea. Actually, it was the Gulf of Aqaba. But, you know, for all you Christians out there at the Red Sea, you know. And he killed the whole Egyptian army out there in about 20 minutes. Drowned them all right there in the ocean. That's why I say, you know, every once in a while the guy goes postal on you. I think he'd had it with those Egyptians. He'd been dealing with them for quite a while, gave them 10 plagues, and they didn't learn nothing by that. So I think he finally gave up on them and said, well, we'll bring them guys up here in the second resurrection, deal with them at a later date. In Exodus 31:17, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and he was refreshed. Now, he's not asking us to rest and be refreshed for 1,000 years. You know, every Sabbath, it's every week, you know, for 24 hours you rest and get refreshed. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In earing time and in harvest you shall rest. So whether or not you're planting or whether or not you're harvesting, you got to take the Sabbath. I know, I'm an old-timey farmer, and ain't nothing worse than, you know, to be right in the middle of harvest, and you're out here picking beets or pulling beets or carrots or you're cutting hay or whatever it is. And on Friday, you're just really getting in your stride, and you say, boy, we'll finish this up Saturday and Sunday. We'll have, 25,000 bales done. And he tells you, no, you got to stop. Friday night at sundown, you know, when everything is just going 90 miles an hour, you got to wrap it up, pull in your horns, and take 24 hours off. So I know you farmers are sitting out there just chomping at the bit, meaner than cat dirt, and saying, well, I ain't going to do that. Well, okay. No, it's not my job to come in here and tell you that you're wrong and I'm right. My job is to tell you what the answer is to the riddle. I said, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about Sabbath. So here it is. It's a sign between you and this God. Now, if you don't want his sign, don't keep the Sabbath. No, if you don't want this guy identified with you, which most people don't, well, then the last thing in the world you want to do is keep the Sabbath day, because it's a sign between him and the children of Israel forever. Now, a lot of you are going to say, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, okay, but hey, listen, this was not given just to the Jews. It was given to the children of Israel, and there was 12 tribes of Israel. 12. Did you know that? Well, if you're a Christian, you probably didn't, but just in case you didn't know, I thought I'd share it with you. 12 tribes. The Jews are one tribe. One. And then there's Reuben. And Gad, Naphtali, Asher, Benjamin, Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh. You know. So I just thought I'd share that with you, that there's more than one tribe, and the Jews represent 1/12 of the tribes of Israel. And those Jews, you know, some of them, not all of them, but some of those Jews that you see running around in the world today are truly Israelites, children of Abraham. But there's some more besides them. They're not the only ones. I'm one of those, you know, I just thought I'd share with you. I'm another one of those Israelites, and there's lots of Israelites out there. I don't know how many Israelites there are out there in the world, but there's you know, probably 500 million. 500, probably more than that. I'd guesstimate, if you're talking about Israelites, I'll bet you that there's around 1 billion of us, about one out of every six, probably worldwide. But it's about as many Israelites as there are Catholics. Most of the Israelites are Catholics. I mean, they're pagans, right from the word go. Our lineage, our people, the Israelite people, we have followed the nations around us from day one. Very seldom have we ever followed our Creator. Now listen to this, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, and earing time and harvest you shall rest. That's quite a story. Now farmers don't have a problem doing that. Farmers work 6 days a week. Farmers work 18 hours a day. Farmers work 7 days a week. Now in the city, people have a hard time with that concept. Notice God said, 6 days shall you work. And so we came along and said, oh no, God, you got that wrong. 5 days shall you work. Five. We take 2 days off. Okay. So just in case you were wondering over there, your God told you to work 6 days a week, and you guys came up with a correction there. God had made a mistake, and so you got it down to five. Some people got it down to four. They got the four-day work week. So I work 6 days a week and rest one, and that's what the instruction manual calls for, so that's what I do. Most people, they don't do that. They work five and rest two. If God told you to stand up, you'd sit down. If he told you to sit down, you'd stand up. If he told you to go to sleep, you'd drink coffee and stay awake. If he told you to stay awake, you'd take no, you'd take some tranquilizer and go to sleep. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what God says. You're probably going to do the exact opposite. Now, there's an important reason for that. It's over here in Romans 8, verse 7, I believe it is. Romans 8, verse 7. See if I can find that here. It's in the Bible here someplace. Here we are, Acts. I'm getting close here. Acts, and pretty soon we'll come up to Romans. Here we go. Romans. You have to be patient with me. I'm a little slow. I didn't go to seminary. Here it is. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that tells you the answer to that riddle. Natural, ordinary, everyday, garden variety, run-of-the-mill human beings are enmity against God. They hate Him. They don't like Him at all. Well, they don't like this God. Now, most people are kind of religious. They like gods, but they don't like this God. You know, the one that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You don't like that guy at all. If he'd have said, remember a Sabbath day, you pick out the day and do as you damn well please, I think everybody would have liked that, but they didn't like this guy because he told you to do it on his day. And he... Now, again, here in Exodus 35:2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the Sabbath day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest of the eternal. Whosoever doeth any work therein shall be put to death. Oh, my God. I'm talking about a hanging judge here. Now, listen, I didn't write this. Don't get mad at me. Don't write me an email now and say, hey, Gordon, you know you're out in left field again. I'm a reporter, and I'm reporting that Sabbath day has a penalty. The penalty for breaking the Sabbath, that is, working on the Sabbath. We haven't determined which day of the week the Sabbath day is yet. But whatever day of the week you want to pick, and whichever day of the week you want to practice the Sabbath on, assuming that you had it on the right day, if you break the Sabbath, that is, you violate the terms and conditions, and we haven't determined yet what it is that you do to break the Sabbath. But we do know one thing. If you work on the Sabbath day, work is one of the things that you could do to break the Sabbath. There's a couple, three other things that you should probably be aware of, but that's one of the things, work. Whatever this thing work is, and we haven't defined that one yet either. But whatever this thing of work is, and whatever day of the week it is, if you do that, it carries the death penalty. Capital felony. Capital felony. All right, just thought I'd share that with you. And that's mentioned in the scripture several times. Now, I'm not going to show you every place in the Bible where it says, you know, you should be put to death. One is satisfactory. But it's mentioned more than once. More than once. That if you get caught out here breaking the Sabbath, we're going to kill you. And so that's why most people don't like the Bible. And they don't like this God. They don't mind gods, but they don't like this particular God because he's kind of a hanging judge. And they got this carnal mind and their enmity against this guy anyway. And that's the way he designed and created you. So if you're wondering how come you hate this guy, because he designed you that way. That's why I don't like him. Then it goes on and it tells you some more here about the seventh day. And this is just about, you know, just about the whole story on the seventh day. Leviticus 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of the eternal in all your dwelling. And remember, Leviticus 23, in case you're wondering, has all seven of the annual holy days. Seven for you. That's for you, Seventh Day Adventist. Every once in a while, I get Seventh Day Adventist in here, and I chide him a little bit. I said, keep Sabbath, huh? Well, how about the annual Sabbath? Oh, no, we don't do these annual Sabbaths. How come? Oh, they don't know. But it's just not church doctrine. The Sabbath, you know, the weekly Sabbath carries the death penalty. Did you know that if you don't practice those seven annual Sabbaths, all you Seventh-day Adventists out there, you know what the penalty for that is? It's death. You know, D-E-D, dead. All right. There's one more penalty out there I want to share with you. There's another penalty that you get for violating the Sabbath over here, and it's revealed, recorded in Leviticus 26, verse 34, where it says, then shall the land enjoy your Sabbath as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. Okay, that's speaking of that land Sabbath and Jubilees. If you violate the land Sabbath and Jubilees, the penalty is national captivity. That's what happened to you Germans in 1945. You Germans went into national captivity. You people down in South Africa, you white people in South Africa, you are in national captivity. Did you know that? People that live in South Africa are from the tribe of Asher. So all you Asherites down there are in national captivity. You went into national captivity in Rhodesia. Remember that? Now, most of you whites have fled Rhodesia, or you're being oppressed in Rhodesia, or you've lost all your land in Rhodesia. Same thing's happening to you now in South Africa. I just thought I'd wake you up to reality over there. All right, so that's the seventh-day statutes, and there's quite a few of those, and I'm going to stop right here. Hebrews 4:4 speaks of the seventh day also. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. All right, so now we got the Sabbath scriptures. Sabbath, S-A-B-B-A-T-H. And listen to this. He said to them, this is that which the Eternal has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Eternal. Bake that which you shall bake today, and see that you will seethe, and that which remains over lay it up for you to be kept until the morning. And in Exodus 16:25, Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Eternal. Today you shall not find it in the field." And in Exodus 16:26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And in 16:29, see, "For that the Eternal has given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." Exodus 20:8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Exodus 20:10, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Eternal your God. In it you shall do no work, any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your manservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that's within your gates." And in verse 11 he says here, "For in 6 days the Eternal made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, for the Lord blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it." All right, so there's your little story. 6 days you work, 1 day you rest. The day you rest is on the Sabbath day. Notice the word the, not a. Every place in here is the Sabbath day. It's a particular day that I think we can figure out which day it is. Not a day, not a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, or some other a day. It's the day. So I'll share that with you. Now, you can cook. You know, you can cook, but you got to cook on Friday. And then you eat it on a Sabbath day. And so you put up 2 days worth of food. You know, you put up Friday and Saturday so that tomorrow you will have your food done. That's so that you ladies can take a day off too, just in case you didn't know. I mean, you know, your old man's got you working 7 days a week over here, cooking him ham and eggs for breakfast. Okay, well, 1 day a week you get off. 1 day a week you cook it on Friday, and then he can eat it on Sabbath. How's that for a plan? Hey, I'm about out of time, kids. I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Well, to order yours, all you have to do is call the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967 to order yours. That's the CD package. Remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk. If you'd like more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.